This one is very old. It makes a lot of noise.
I'm in a small apartment block in a Lisbon suburb visiting Rita Penim. She's making coffee as we chat about Portugal's radical austerity reforms, part of the financial bailout agreed with the EU and the IMF. More and more people here are starting to question the whole process, and Rita is one of them.
I was at the beach. I was building a sandcastle with my son, and my cell rang. It was my chief on the other side telling me that I was being fired. I looked at the sea, I looked at my son and my husband. I took a big breath, a very large, big breath. And I started to think, to worry about my responsibilities.
An in-debt country must have austerity. There is no other way.
The Prime Minister, Pedro Passos Coelho, says he's not for turning. He's about to introduce the biggest tax rise in the country's history. Public spending is being slashed again. And there's an ambitious programme of structural reform to try to make the economy more competitive.
If Portugal can be able to accomplish the targets and the goals of his adjustment programme, he can recover some credibility from the citizens and the markets.
In a city centre bookshop, a new magazine is being launched to discuss the issues of the day. And the biggest of all is this. Is the Prime Minister right? Is austerity actually working for Portugal? The IMF suggested recently that the impact of austerity on a country's ability to grow may have been systematically underestimated. And a broad political consensus here in favour of the bailout programme or memorandum has now broken down. Pedro Guerrero, editor of the financial newspaper Negocios.
When we saw that the deficit wasn't going to match the number for this year, and that would mean more austerity, then all the society began asking, why are we facing all these austerity measures if it isn't working? And aren't we moving towards a spiral of that Greece went to?
It's the fear of becoming another Greece.
It really is. Greece is rebel and Portugal is the teacher's pet, so we're doing everything that we are asked to do. And so if it's not working, probably the problem is not the Portuguese behaviour, but the memorandum itself.
So now it's the octopus from the Algarve.
Well, I'm in Paulo Rafaúcho's kitchen and there are some very tempting smells wafting across the room. Paulo used to run a very well-regarded Lisbon restaurant, but now he serves clients right here. In his own home.
Why did you shut down the restaurants? Were you taxed out of business?
Taxes were increasing a lot. It was impossible because suddenly we had no clients and we had to close. But that is the past. I like the Xerez Pascoal, a Portuguese writer, that says, I miss the future. So we must miss the future.
As our philosopher chef serves a dinner of scallops, tuna, octopus and garlic sausage, it's pretty clear that he'll do okay, even if he's not sure austerity is being implemented in the right way, with the burden shared correctly. But Paulo says hard times are inevitable.
I don't know a lot about macroeconomic, but I know about my house. If I have this money to spend, I must spend this money. We cannot live upon our possibilities. And if we were living these 20 or 30 years, we have to pay.
Easier said than done when jobs are tough to come by and qualified young people are emigrating in droves. This is an anti-austerity demonstration in the middle of Lisbon. A man's just walked past me with a t-shirt which says, we pay for life with death, so everything in between should be free. And maybe for a while, that's what it felt like in Portugal. But no longer, because austerity is really beginning to bite.
You have started in the last 2 months seeing a television about people stealing food at supermarkets. This has already begun.
I've met up again out on the streets, this time with Rita Penim. She's marching against more cuts, but worried that things could take a turn for the worse.
I think they started to be angry last year. Now people are really angry, either for what is happening at their own home or for what they know is happening in their friends, their neighbours, their colleagues' homes.
The discontent is such that even serving military personnel have marched through the streets in orderly protest against the political class.
They must be aware that they are our employees.
I'm in Lisbon's most famous custard pie shop with Antonio Lima Coelho, a sergeant in the Air Force.
Sometimes politicians tend to forget and tend to twist their image. They tend to think that they are the owners. No, they are not. So, if they don't do the proper job, they can be dismissed by elections or by the discontent of the people, always within the constitutional values.
But still, it seems that some people think that we do not make enough of an effort.
And Portugal has been going on the offensive abroad as well. This is a locally produced video that made it onto German TV, reminding the Germans that the Portuguese work pretty hard.
9 hours a week, more than the Germans. The Portuguese work until the age of 67.
Some think the rest of the Eurozone should cut them some slack, give them a bit more time to achieve their targets. The man who made the video, blogger Rodrigo Moita de Dias, says there is a danger that people will lose faith.
The question is this the right way? It's not the question of growth versus austerity, François Hollande versus Angela Merkel. It's not that. Is it too much? Are we destroying the economy, the grassroots from the economy? We will only know that next year, and probably it will be too late to do something about it.
The true believers in government and elsewhere say Portugal will turn the corner. Exports are up, labour costs are down. But the sceptics, they don't see enough evidence, only the potential for further pain. Next year will indeed be crucial for this country and for the credibility of the economic policies which outsiders have prescribed.